Our live broadcast for the Chicago Blackhawks take on Arizona, brought to you by the Visit Bedford Park. Make Bedford Park your new home for business, and by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO.
Auto.
All right, now, Chairman's with us. This is the most important thing. Everybody act natural. Rocky Wirtz has joined the broadcast here, and how happy must you be right now? 7 out of 8, the team's gelling, looking hot. This is pretty great.
Well, it's a lot better to start gelling at the end of the year than it is the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we'll take it. No, but they're playing well, and they've done, out of those 7 out of 8, I think 6 of them have been on the road.
Yes. That's right, because you had that weird well, it's not weird. I mean, it's a scheduled thing. You had a couple things happen here, which now with the new agreement with the players, right, they have to have a bye week.
They had a bye week because of the World Cup at the beginning of the season. So I don't believe it's every year. I think it's just when they have special events like the World Cup.
Okay, so that to give these guys an extra time off.
And
we've seen that so far, teams coming off the bye week, because they're staggering the bye week like they do in the NFL, right? Not everybody's off at the same time.
That's right.
Teams coming off the bye week tend to lose their first game back out, which is kind of an interesting, you know, you never think about.
Right, getting rusty.
You know, or the impact of that when they're doing it. So this will not be next year necessarily, right?
I don't think so. But
although you have the Olympics next year.
Well, who knows?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
I know the Olympics are going to be there. I'm not sure what NHL is going to do. I don't think anyone does.
Yeah. I'm going to get Bettman on the phone in a little bit, right, if we get out of here.
Get on that. We need to figure that out.
You got any questions for him, I'll ask it. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is very exciting stuff. I want to talk a little bit about what's happened here in the physical facility of the United Center, because you've built this building now to the east of the United Center, and it is startling to see how – it's like the Jetsons, how quickly it went up, how beautiful it is.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's modern-looking, but it's still kind of – it. Fits in very nicely with the United Center. And what is going on in there?
Well, thank you. What we did is it's kind of, you know, we call it the annex. And what we do have is we have the different team offices. So you have obviously the Blackhawks, the Bulls, United Center office, and Levy have their offices. And then we'll have a store that will be a two-story store that will open in June.
Mm-hmm. And then for both teams,
so it'll be, you know, team stores, and we'll eventually have two restaurants, and there'll be a little bit one downstairs being a little more casual, and something upstairs a little nicer. So we're still working on that. So it should be, you know, very good. And then the spaces that the offices were in, we can make that into clubs and improved you know, facilities for the fans. So it should be exciting all the way around.
Right, because your entire east end of the actual existing United Center, the original United Center, has where the team offices were. A few guys had windows. Mostly everybody else did not.
And there are so many beautiful windows in the new building just east of here.
Well, it's nice, and we're still figuring out exactly what to do and how to do it. We can you know, rent it out. We can have, you know, different stands. It's going to be exciting. And then, plus, it's inside the box office. It's nice to have people go to the box office and not be in freezing cold or rain.
Right.
Sure.
There's a big space there for that. And then the Jordan statue, right,
yes,
is in there.
It's in there. So we moved the Jordan statue while the construction was going on and brought it back in. And then people can go in there. And then we have the Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita just right outside. So people can go and do both. And then it should be exciting, and we're looking forward to it.
You know, this is really becoming a campus, it feels. Like you come out here, and there's going to be so much going on. There's so much revitalization of this area, and certainly West Loop onto the near west side. Do you envision a point in time when it would be sort of like Wrigleyville to come?
Well, I think this is going to be what we're trying to do is make it a 12-month destination. So you have the Advocate Center just across the street where the Bulls practice, and then we're going to have the Blackhawk new community ice rink. It's really a community ice rink that the Hawks will be practicing in, mm-hmm. and that's going to be open in December, and that's on time, and that's been going very well. There'll be two sheets.
That's exciting.
And it'll be good for, you know, both boys and girls and for the community and for the west side and just people in the city being able to find ice time, because that's the biggest problem.
Right.
It's not like a, you know, baseball or you know, a basketball facility where you can just, you know, go in and just go. But if you can't play hockey or learn to skate without ice.
That is unfortunately
true.
That is, I've tried, and Rocky, I got to tell you, my ankles can tell its story.
Oh.
You don't want to hear.
Oh,
so that's opening in December, and then people start booking that for leagues too. I mean, can leagues come into play?
We do. We have the Mission that they've signed up for X amount of ice time, coming from Seven Bridges, both boys and girls. But mm-hmm. the nice thing is the Hawks don't practice that much. We figured about 5% of the time they'd be using it, and then the rest of the time. this would be for the public. And the nice thing about it is it's not like we'll have two ice surfaces. It's not like one's only for the Blackhawks and one's for the public. The public will use both of them, and they just won't use the one when the Hawks are practicing.
Oh, my gosh, it'll be so cool. Won't it, to be able to skate on the same rink or the Blackhawks?
So when I put on my white ice skates with my little pom-poms on them,
and I
just
want to
go around in a circle, I can do that, right? I can just is there a free skate?
You'll have free skating.
Foxtrot?
Well, you can feel like Sonya Henie.
I sometimes do. I probably shouldn't share this with the radio audience, but sometimes I imagine that myself to be Sonya Henie. All right, so let's butch this thing up, shall we? Back to hockey. Ooh, yeah. How about that Jonathan Toews? Let's talk about
Seriously.
Him for just a second. I mean, isn't that great that, I mean, he's, it does seem to me that he has had, you know, he's had one of those seasons where even at the All-Star games, like, I shouldn't be here. I mean, that's, you got to love a guy who is just so, you know, just he's a perfectionist. He wants to do the right thing. He's a great team leader, and he's humble.
Well, the nice thing about every time you talk to him, he never talks about himself. He always talks about his teammates, if he's had a good game. Even the other night in Minnesota when he had a hat trick, he never talked about his hat trick. It was about everyone else and what they did and his line mates and stuff. But that's just the kind of leader he is. And so you see him on the ice, but also what he's like in the locker room and just the wonderful individual he is. And he leads by example, too.
Yeah, that's great. I'm very happy for him when he – especially now that it seems to be gelling, and a hat trick is always great, no matter how you get it, where you get it. But how about that, getting it up in St. Paul against those? Who saw those guys coming, right? And I mean, I guess for the last two seasons we have seen them develop into a real contender, but they're playing lights out.
Well, and the nice thing about when you have really good great players like Jonathan, he makes his teammates that much better too. And so when you're lucky enough to play with a player, then all of a sudden you get a teammate that goes to another team. You realize how good he is.
Yeah. Well, and the guy leading those players, Coach Quinville, a historic win Tuesday night, 400 career wins for the coach. What can you say about him leading this team through this dynasty they've been on?
Well, I mean, tell you, he's just a focused individual, and he works very, very hard, and he's just he communicates well, and he works well with his coaching staff, and that's the nice thing about it. And how he works with the players, and they know exactly what they have to do, and he's really good at it. Plus, as you know, there's not a line that feels comfortable that it's going to be this way, for the whole game. And he'll switch it up, and he has a real knack for knowing what to do at the right time.
And he's got those eyes too, right? You can look right through to the back of your skull.
Oh, gosh.
Can you imagine being one of his children coming home late?
Oh,
no,
God.
I can't even tell if he's smiling, or does he smile? I don't know, because he's always got
mustache.
That intense look. You have to look at the mustache
and figure out how wide the mustache is and whether he's smiling.
I talked to his wife, Boo. She said she's never seen him without a mustache.
Never.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it just suits him. He has to have it.
Third grade. He was the first guy to have a mustache. He has that look in his eyes. You don't want to. I mean, this is so fun to watch, too. Sometimes guys will come off a line, and he'll just shoot him a look.
If they
missed an assignment or something, and you just know it.
Yeah, and the camera gets that, and you look at it, and then you feel guilty, and you weren't even on the ice.
You feel bad. You want to go apologize for the guy. Ryan Hartman did not know.
He did not realize that
the puck was coming to him. He's very sorry, Coach. Hey, I want to ask you about this, too. It's funny. We were just talking about this right before you came on. You're doing hundreds of millions of dollars in improvements to the United Center over these number of years, including what we were just talking about. But you said that you may be changing the seats out.
Well, we are, because we're constantly trying to get to improve the building. So we're looking, because the seats are over 20 years of age and they have some age, and a lot of, I don't know how many millions of people sat in those seats. So
think about that.
We've had a lot, that's the whole thing. So we just want to keep the building fresh. And
so is that about right, 20 years for seats?
It's about right, yeah. We've probably gone a little longer than normal.
What are you going to do with the old seats?
I don't. We'll
auction them off.
Yeah, anyone that wants to buy them, I'm sure we can make a deal.
I bet some people would like those.
Oh my God! You think about that, because when they do that, they change seats. What they did at Wrigley or Fenway or places like that. People, or Yankee Stadium when they were taking that down. Everybody wanted to
little piece of it, right?
Right. But you've got three Stanley. All right, so you've had six Bulls championships, three Stanley Cup championship teams here, one Stanley Cup, one here, and what I think two or three Bulls championships on here.
Yeah, and the Bulls, yeah.
Right. And not to mention all the other great events that have happened in this building. And I just, oh, my God, Yes. And that's people being put them in their, you know, like in their living room.
Don't sit in that.
Yeah,
don't sit in that.
It's for the United Center.
What a conversation piece for sure. But
right.
Wow.
I think I once had to go to the bathroom during a Chicago concert in this exact seat. Oh. You know, it's sort of like that. It's
some things you wouldn't want to know about the seats.
At least you made it to the bathroom, though.
Do you have to change? It's interesting because I think I did. There's like new seat technology too for stadiums, right? Don't
they? Well, there is, and the United Center was one of the first that actually had seats behind the net and the basket. So they're like an accordion; you pull them out, and mm-hmm. then they're different angles. On one angle, I think it's 3% different for hockey than it is for basketball. So again, that technology's evolved, but you know we've worked with the seat manufacturers, you know, even 20 plus years ago to you know what to do.
That is, yeah. And it's a far cry from the original seats at the Chicago Stadium were like.
They were a little tired.
Like where they were.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, that was an experience when you would sit at the United Center or at the Chicago Stadium, mm-hmm. And you literally, I would walk out, and even as like a kid, I would walk out in a 45-degree angle. It was like it was like a fusing technology that those seats had. They
had a wood slat, so once in a while you'd stand up on it and maybe go right through it.
Right. Oh. Well, that was and people were the 300 level especially. People were standing up there, and then they would take the broken slat and try to hit the guy next door to him if they were a Detroit fan
sure.
of any type.
Well, that happens.
We had some good Donnybrooks in the old days.
Oh. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. Isn't it interesting when you moved into this building? It's almost like that culture of the, you know, the kind of the, you know, the mm-hmm. the rafters fighters, you know, the guys who, as soon as the fighting started on the ice.
Every sport sort of has them. Mm-hmm.
Right. But they would enjoy it. They, like, guys would be punching each other and then stop when the action started again.
There was a decorum to it. There was some sense of rules.
They knew what they, it's a knife fight. So then you go upstairs now and people are like, they would never think of, it's like fighting in church here. They don't want to do it.
Well, it's nice as they actually want to come and actually watch what's going on the ice.
I know. Well, that's true, too.
Can't
there's
miss a
little
second.
Difference there. I think I will have to acknowledge that.
Some nights it might not have been so interesting in the past.
The fight was a little better up there. That's true.
At least it kept your attention the whole game.
All right. Well, congratulations again on this season. It looks like a lot of fun. And like you said, it's great to be gelling at this time.
That's exciting.
Because it is fun. Mm. And you do get this sense. I know that when you talk to the players or you talk to Coach Q about it, they don't like to acknowledge this. But there has to be some truth to the fact that you definitely want to get hot here and you know, be also sort of rested enough, too, so that you're going to have that long playoff run. Because obviously, after last season, I don't think the Hawks want to do that again.
No, and that's the one thing, too, that Quinville has done such a good job is giving the players time to both rest, physically and mentally. So I think that 5 days off, that a lot of times teams come back, and as the Hawks didn't win the next game. But I think it's good to mentally get away, and I think that's why, you know, I think you talk to some of the players, they'll tell you the summer was too long, but it was good mentally too.
Yeah, so they do. Makes sense. They're playing great. All right, Rocky Wirtz, thank you very much, sir. Really appreciate it.